Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You are now listening to the Philly Pod,
a Philadelphia sports podcast.
I can't believe they really didn't take Sewell. Joe Burrow might die next year. He literally might. He might get. He might need an amputation next year.
He's gonna die around his friends throwing.
Yo, what is going on, Eagles fans, Devontae Smith fans? Welcome to another episode of the Philly Pod right here on the LibertyLine.com as well as Fox Sports The Gambler. I'm your host today, Victor Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at the Philly Pod as well as Instagram. You can do the same for Liberty Line at Liberty Line PHL and follow Fox Sports The Gambler on Twitter as well at Fox PHL Gambler. On a day, you know, this we're a day removed from day one now, and on a day where everyone kind of woke up and just praised to God himself that, you know, Howie, please don't screw this up. It's so easy. Don't make these mistakes. And, you know, they made a deal with the devil, moved up and got their receiver for Jalen Hurts, and hopefully their WR1 of the future. And to celebrate this achievement, because we have to celebrate these things because they're so few and far in between here. I brought my co-host with me. You can follow my first one here on Twitter at Stephen Conrad Jr. He is the host and the creator of the Daily Drip YouTube channel. Be sure to go ahead and subscribe and comment on all his videos and breakdowns and stuff he does over there. He does go by Stephen Conrad Jr. What's going on, man? Have you come down from the high from last night? Because I woke up like Christmas morning this morning. So,
yes. So wait, before I go into what I have to say, can I just ask, this episode's not going to be aired on like radio or anything, right? Like,
no, go off the chain if you have to.
All right, guys, Philly.
What if it was? What if it was? What were you gonna do,
guys? I'm glorious. I'm fucking glorious, actually, because you want to know why? We sat here. We were told. We were informed by our Eagles insider this past week, Jeff Kerr of CBS, that there was a good
first
chance.
First of all, he's not an Eagles insider, but don't spread that around.
Let's
right. NFL right. Writer, CBS, Jeff
NFL
Kerr.
NFL writer, Jesus Christ. Even more credible.
Jeff, if you're listening, NFL writer, not an Eagles insider. Jesus,
Jeff.
But he did know. Credit to him. He didn't tell us the fact that he kept that in after we just had him on the show like 2 days ago.
He all but whatever.
I mean, he gave us hints. He gave us hints, but you know, he wasn't like, oh, the Eagles are taking Smith if they can. Like, he didn't say that.
Well, anyways, Jeff, hope you're listening. We're gonna get a drink. We're gonna go out and get a drink sometime and celebrate this moment.
You can't even buy drinks.
We're the Devontae Smith guys. Look, Vic's happy because he's just glad we didn't, you know, mess up this pick. But let's just be clear. DeVonta Smith was not Vic's first choice.
We are literally
I'm
not
celebrating
doing this.
I told you.
I wanted J.C. Horn. If it was between J.C. Horn and DeVonta Smith, I wanted J.C. Horn first.
Give me the Heisman winner.
Okay, we'll argue about the Heisman winner. Anyway, that's Steven. on my other side here, you can follow him on Twitter at Justin J. Bradley. He covers the Eagles as well as the Union for the Liberty Line. He is Justin Bradley. What's going on, man? I know you are the one in the Howie camp in this trio. How's it feel to be partially right? I'll give you partial. How's it feel to be right in this situation?
It's Howie season. That's all you gotta say, man. It's Howie season. He read the draft board perfectly. He had all these situations ready to go.
This man's in his glory.
You know, I've always trusted Howie, honestly. I've never really had a doubt in my mind, especially coming into the season with all this pressure on the line. There's no way he was going to keep reaching on these picks. And he exactly knew what was going on. He knew Ja'Marr Chase was going to go. Kyle Pitts were going to go before six. He didn't think DeVonta Smith, you know, didn't need to be drafted at six. He could trade back and then trade back up. Got an extra first. We have three first-round picks next year. It's a great feeling. And, you know, if we have Jalen Hurts balling out, we won't need to draft a quarterback next year. We'll have three first-round picks to work with to make the team even better. Can't wait, man.
Yeah, and that's the big thing about everything that went down yesterday. Just to be clear, I am a fan of DeVonta Smith, despite what Steven says. Steven, if you're going to quote me, do it correctly. All I said was that I want J.C. Horn before Smith, and obviously both corners were gone, so DeVonta Smith
is the right pick. So if DeVonta Smith was right here in this clean feed, would you tell that to him to his face?
Tell him what? That I wanted J.C. Horn?
I wanted
a corner. We need a corner. We needed a corner before a receiver. And since both of them are off the board, then you go DeVonta Smith.
I think
I'm not mad at
argument.
What they did. It's more than a fair argument. It's a realistic argument.
That would have been fine with either.
Yeah, and then once Horn went off the board first, before Surtain,
Howie didn't think we needed one.
No, he did think that. They were more than likely going to take a corner.
He traded back to 12.
He traded back to 12 because he assumed Surtain or Horn would be there, probably. Or if he thought that he would be able to move. He probably traded back because he knew that he'd be able to get back up, is probably his mindset there.
The Slim Reaper was and always is the guy.
Yep, the Slim Reaper is here, and we are firm supporters of DeVonta Smith, as we all are, regardless if we have a cornerback or not. So now we have a shot at Asante Samuel. This is before day two, so we'll get into some targets that we have in mind for day two. So the whole premise of this is that the Eagles made a deal with the devil, essentially, with the NFC East rivals in Dallas. It looked like Dallas had their sights set always on Micah Parsons, especially with the retirement of Sean Lee. And then when the Eagles made the call and said, hey, look, we'll give you the third round pick if we can move up ahead of Giants, because we're almost certain that the Giants are going to take DeVonta Smith. Dallas said, okay, we're going to get our guy anyway, and we can still get some draft compensation, so why not? And looking at it in totality, the Giants, or the Cowboys rather, were probably more comfortable with DeVonta Smith going to the Eagles in their current state rather than him going into the mix of Galladay and Sterling Shepard, as well as Darius Slayton. So they took the lesser of two evils, figured that he was going to be in the division regardless. Let's send him to the Eagles and get some draft picks so we don't have to deal with four receivers over on the Giants.
They would have done that same deal if it was the Giants trading up. They just wanted that extra
pick. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They got the extra pick. No, they didn't care where Smith went. They got the pick, and they still got their linebacker. That's why they made the deal. But I'm saying, in totality, Smith on the Eagles right now is a lot.
No.
Smith and the Giants receiving core would have been disgusting.
With Daniel, that doesn't matter.
You have Kenny Galladay and Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton over there. I don't know what the national view is on Jalen Hurts right now. If Daniel Jones is better, I don't know. But I think the Cowboys would rather deal with DeVonta Smith and with the Eagles in their current state rather than him going and being included in that Giants receiving core that isn't looking too bad right now. But the instant reaction when we first saw that the Eagles traded up and that it was actually the Dallas Cowboys, Justin, what was your first immediate thoughts when you saw the pick has been traded and the NFC East rivals? Like the fact that it was the two of them after all the draft and all the drama and all that between Dallas Goedert and then them getting us back for CeeDee Lamb, and now they're both coming together and said, you know what, screw the Giants, essentially. How do you feel about that whole trade that went down?
I was shocked because, you know, it was a divisional rival. I saw it with Steven. I was like, what is going on? And I was just scared that they were going to trade it for a quarterback for some reason.
What if they took Justin Fields? I was so scared they were going to take Justin.
Yeah, that
this would be a whole different
thing.
Podcast.
Yep. So I was like, you know, dude, they have to get Devontae Smith because my thing going into the draft was there was four guys, you know, I think they should have, one of them they should have had. Waddle, Smith, Surtain,
right.
Horn. Mm-hmm. And they were ended like that. What's his name? Smith was the only one left. So I was like, it has to be for him. And it was. And again, Howie season. I can't wait to see what else he has in store.
It's going to be the title of the episode. Hashtag.
Justin, I don't know if I thought you had thought. So me and Justin were watching the draft last night. You had originally thought when I told you because you weren't looking at the screen. I said, dude, a trade just went through with Dallas. And you were like, well, who's trading? You said something like,
yeah,
who's
I was
trading
shocked.
Up for a QB? And when I saw it was us, for some reason I was like, yeah, we're not drafting Justin Fields. I don't know why I thought that. This whole time we were linked to QBs, me personally, it's been smokescreen. Like, I get how he's not come out and committed to Jalen Hurts, but why would he do that? He loses leverage then, you know what I mean? Like, he can't. Like, obviously, with what went... All right, I'm not even going to name his name. Forget it. Jalen Hurts is the quarterback. When you draft the number one wide receiver, that all but says you're committed to Jalen Hurts. You draft his best target in college. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to come out and say it. Jalen Hurts isn't a baby. He's a grown man. He's ready for this moment.
Yeah, that's why like the whole premise of even the trade, in addition to drafting Devontae Smith, because in summation, the Eagles essentially, you know, after it's all said and done by trading back and then moving back up, at the end of the day, they traded the third round pick from this season for a first round pick next year by trading back and then going back up again, and they still got their alpha receiver for Jalen Hurts, and by doing that, they've then showed a sign of commitment to Hurts by bringing in one of his Alabama weapons, and after all that, the Eagles still hold four picks in the first two rounds, even regardless of how the Carson trade, you know, whatever that pick becomes a second, or if it's first, if he meets those requirements, they still have first picks. They still have four picks in the first two rounds. And if you're able to pull that off and still get a receiver, I remember even when we still had the sixth pick and people were, you know, willing to spend that on Devontae Smith, the fact that you were able to make the swap and get him at 10 and still have the draft compensation that you do for next season is commendable. I'm not we haven't been the biggest, well, me and Steven, I'll leave Justin out of it. We haven't been the biggest Howie fans this offseason, but there's not a lot of bad things I can say about the way day one of the trade happened. Yeah, I personally couldn't draw it up any better. And the fact that it came at another rival's expense, especially after keeping the Giants out of the postseason last year, and then you go ahead and throw it in their face by not letting them draft Devontae Smith. And for the people that think that they weren't going to take him, all you have to look at is that they panicked and dipped out of their own spot and then reached for a guy like Kadarius Toney, who is probably a late first round, early second round talent at best.
Unreal.
You know, you could have taken Bateman or even Marshall that early, you know, or some of the guys would have been reaches, or you even could have did somebody like Elijah Moore, and the Giants looked at all of them and took the master of none. He's a good jack of all trades kind of guy, but he's not a master of anything in particular. And when you bring him into a crowded wide receiver room, I'm not sure what the expectations are going to be for a guy like Kadarius Toney. So all in all, I'm happy with the way that the Cowboys and the Eagles came together to rid the Giants of their plans.
Yeah, I think personally it's kind of bizarre how committed the Giants were to adding a receiver to an already crowded and very talented wide receiver.
You would think they would reassess and address a different position, but the fact that they stood pat and still got a receiver is puzzling.
Who's got more pressure in this division than Daniel Jones now?
Yeah.
Because like if
Saquon,
he goes out
you got
and doesn't,
four receivers.
He has to ball out. You know how many weapons he has?
Yeah. Imagine if they got Devontae Smith. That's what I'm saying. Like if you add him to the mix, Dallas probably wasn't trying to deal with that. So they were like, well, we'll let the Eagles, you know, get somebody and then we'll deal with
now,
that.
Now I will say I don't want to do this because I hate the Giants. Screw you guys. Weird fan base, by the way. Really weird. I saw your reaction. Trying to act like whatever, let's not get into it. But Kadarius Toney, to be fair, like I personally think Devontae Smith's talent would have been wasted going to the Giants because mm-hmm. he's a high volume type of guy. Definitely. I think Kadarius Toney, you can put him on any team and he's just like you can just use him in the slot. I mean he's like I don't know what you compare him to or describe him as. He's kind of his own type of player. To me, like when I watch his highlights, he reminds me of like if LeSean McCoy was a wide receiver. That's just how I see. You just give him the ball and he's going to just take people, you know what I mean, just take their ankles. It's
Sean
it's
McCoy
awesome
wasn't 160 pounds, though, so.
Yeah.
You got the dude is shifty, and the way he glides is definitely, you know, something. The separation and his explosiveness out of cuts is nothing to scoff at. And especially, and it's funny because when we had Jeff on the last show, and he was talking about how much Jalen Hurts would love to play with Jalen Hurts again, and then it all comes to fruition in this sense. And he did dominate the SEC over the last three seasons. I know that me and you have the back and forth argument, Steven, about the Heisman, and you know, you got to take the Heisman Trophy winner, whatever the stat is. He's the first receiver to win it since whatever. But you know, the 227 catches he had over his last 3 years for damn near 4,000 yards and 43 touchdowns. It's you can't ignore that kind of production. And it's the first Alabama player the Eagles have taken since 2002. For whatever reason, they waited 19 years to do it. Maybe they'll take a second one later on with Christian Barmore. You know, we'll get into that stuff. But all in all, you know, not a lot of bad things you could say about the way that this trade went down. Are we concerned at all about the frame, though? I know it was a big thing leading up to the draft, and I know he's drawing Marvin Harrison comparisons because they kind of have the same frame. That's kind of why also I was leaning towards corner. Number one, because the Eagles, you know, as of now, still don't have another corner that can play with Darius Slay. You know, you have Maddox and you have Craig James and you have Michael Jacquet and a whole bunch of other guys that you probably don't want to see on the field when you're going against these division rivals that have stacked receiving cores. But are we concerned at all about Smith's durability at all? Do you think he has to put on weight, or do you think that it's one of those, you know, you can't hit him if you can't catch him type of deals?
It's definitely concerning. I mean, if you look at his past history with injuries, he really hasn't been hurt much besides the thumb injury towards the end of this past season. So, I mean, he's finding ways to not, you know, get hit hard or anything like that. So if he can, you know, just be like that DeSean Jackson type, or if you, you know, like you said, if you can't catch him, you know, he's not going to get hurt. So if they can, Nick Sirianni can draw some plays up for that, like that kind of stuff, I think you're going to be fine with Devontae Smith. But it still is a little concerning. I'm being honest here. I'm still a little concerned about the size, but just because, you know, NFL is a completely different game, you know, than the college football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, for a few short moments, you know, even if it was for one moment only, you know, the Cowboys were real ones and let us get Devontae Smith. So, you know, this we'll see how it plays out and how it works out for either team, but it's looking really good for the Eagles right about now. Now, the way the draft board was falling, it was starting to get a little concerning, especially when both of those corners came off. When Waddle was the first receiver off the board, I was like, well, that's something. And then the fact that Horn was the first corner and then Sertan went later on, the way the draft board was falling was certainly leaving me, you know, questioning what the heck the Eagles are trying to do. So what was between the two of you, Steven first, what was the point in the draft where you were like just I have no idea what's going on in the draft? And at any point did you think, like, when did it click that, oh my god, the Eagles might be able to get Devontae Smith if he falls?
Well, first of all, the JC Horn thing, I think we can all agree, was a big surprise. Right when he got selected, after I got over the whole surprise factor, I started getting nervous and concerned, because I just knew right away that Surtain was going to come off the board before us. There's just no way he was going to be there at 12. But when Surtain then got picked before Dallas, I felt a sign of relief and excitement, because I knew, like, Dallas needed him, right? I mean, we need cornerback help, but so do they. And I knew Devontae Smith was still on the board. And I just had a feeling, I was like, there's just no way Howie's going to be okay with, as much as I hate on the guy and everything like that, I just knew there was no way he's going to be okay with. And I don't know what the Eagles' big board was, and I certainly don't know what Howie Roseman's big board
was. I don't care to know what it was.
I don't care to know what it was
at this point.
He'll tell you it was, I don't
He'll
care
tell you it was decide Devontae Smith all the way.
Yeah. So I was talking myself into, I was just like, well, Dallas is certainly not going to take him. So it's just like, New York might take him. And I remember you had said throughout the day, you were like, New York's not going to pass on Devontae Smith if he's there. I was talking myself into Rashawn Slater, and I'm like, well, damn, this is kind of disappointing.
Dude, I really thought it was going to be. I thought it was either going to be Micah or Kwity Paye, the way it was falling. I was like, bro, it's going to, if it's Micah, that would be like the way left field pick, like nobody saw it coming. And Kwity Paye was the big name. Him and Barmore were the two big names that the Eagles were linked to that nobody's really too thrilled about. But when once the board started falling, a Horn was coming off and Surtain was coming off and Waddle wasn't there. And like you said, I was almost certain that that the Giants were going to take Smith. You know, I didn't think he was going to make it past that pick. So thank goodness the Eagles were able to move up.
Can we all agree, like, like the Eagles were the clear cut winners out of the NFC East. Like the Cowboys, like I don't know. Why
the Cowboys. The Cowboys needed that linebacker.
I mean, yeah, but
they have Vander Esch,
they though. Like totally yeah. missed on their guy. The Giants totally missed.
Yeah,
on,
the Giants. I don't know what, yeah, between it's, Giants it's between year. Dallas, but the Washington got a fairly decent. I know we were talking about it a little bit before this, but they got a fairly decent linebacker to add to that front seven. So that, you know, that is neither here nor there. But I think the Giants and the Eagles both made out, and that's exactly why they made the trade, because they were both able to get their guys. So we'll have to see which one is going to be a better player down the road. But for the sake of the Eagles, I think DeVonta Smith is exactly, you know, us following the team as closely as we do. I think DeVonta Smith, as far as fit is concerned, I think it's a slam dunk draft pick, and you know, connecting Jalen Hurts with one of his former Alabama guys is it checks off all the boxes for what you want for your quarterback. And if Jalen Hurts, if there was any questioning leading up to, you know, do they believe in Jalen Hurts? Hopefully this draft pick and DeVonta Smith kind of leads them in the direction to put the franchise behind Hurts.
Well, one thing we haven't even touched on yet is Jalen Reagor is just going to be chilling next year. Right. The pressure's going to be off.
No pressure. He's no WR1 pressure. Man.
Yeah, he's going to be chilling. No, yeah, it's going to be all
on J-Jaw's going to be chilling. No, well, he's already chilling.
He's going to be off the team, personally. Him and Hightower, I think, are the odd man out.
Oh, my God. No, I really don't think J-Jaw. I can't see them moving on. I think, personally, Greg Ward might be the odd man out.
What? I don't know, dude. I think Greg Ward has respect in that building. A lot of respect in that building.
Yeah, you think they let go of Hightower?
I don't know.
I know they'll definitely keep Quez. Him
I feel
Hurts
like they like Quez more though.
Yeah, him and Hurts are pretty close though.
So. Yeah.
Hightower, he showed some promise. I mean, if it was up to me, J-Jaw would be the odd man out. But I just think that Howie's like, I'm not cutting my second round pick from 2 years ago. I'm gonna at least give him one more year. But sometimes you got to bite that bullet and just understand that it was a bad pick. So now as day two approaches, we start to look at some of the other guys that the Eagles could be looking into. Something that you know, we can't forget is that Howie only made one pick, and we cannot commend this man. We can't crown him yet because there's still a lot more many picks. This man's talking about Howie season and all this. So there are some interesting names that if Howie does pick, I really wouldn't care about the rest of the draft if he makes the right ones in the second round. Obviously, JOK from Notre Dame, that linebacker safety hybrid, would be the fact that he's even available in the second round is surprising to me. And then, of course, you have Asante Samuel Jr., somebody we've been following pretty closely throughout this process. You got Trayvon Moore at safety and some other names. Steven, what are some names you have your eyes on throughout the second round that you hope the Eagles indulge in? And then, Justin, we'll get your ideas.
Well, before I get into the names, I just want to say, and I know Justin can agree with me, because we all pretty much thought we were going to walk out. Like, the most likely scenario seemed the Eagles were going to walk out of the first round with a corner, you know, whether it was one of those two guys.
I would have put money on J.C. Horn. I was almost certain. Right. The fact that he went that early is stunning.
So I was really just really looking into all the second round, you know, day two wide receiver prospects. Big Terrace Marshall Jr. guy, I think we all are.
Yeah, we all are.
So, you know, me and Justin are just sitting there hanging out watching the draft, very relieved and excited. And we're like, oh, damn, Terrace Marshall's still on the board. But wait, we just got the Heisman-winning receiver, you know. We didn't see that coming.
You really love the Heisman winners, man. This man, for the last 2 weeks, is like, you got to draft the Heisman Trophy winner. I'm like, who cares if he's the Heisman Trophy winner? If teams just drafted Heisman Trophy winners every
most
year.
Most receiving yards Jalen in the Hurts national championship game.
Jalen Hurts won the Heisman.
We got two. Yeah, hell yeah, dude. We got two championship guys on the offense now. I love it. I just, like, I hear you guys, like, when people are, so we've been talking about, you know, I mean, there's a lot of really good receivers left. They could certainly pick at 37. But, man, like, it's now really apparent after you go wide receiver in round one, like, dude, we have a big hole at cornerback. Like, we need
– huge hole. That's the concern.
At the very least,
linebacker's fine because you got Eric Wilson. You can maybe get by on a year with Eric Wilson, TJ Edwards, and Alex Singleton. Maybe you can survive a year with that linebacker core, but you got to invest in that position at some point. You got to leave this draft with some type of linebacker. I don't think Davian Taylor – I don't think there's a whole lot of – anything there, so they'll have to.
The best player available is JOK right now.
Yeah, obviously, but does he make it to 37 though, or do you have to move back up?
He's worth the trade up, in my opinion.
He's worth the trade up. I'm telling you, man. Ertz in 37 to get you to 33.
He's out of here, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, absolutely.
He will be. He'll be out of here. I'll be surprised if he survives this draft. But he'll. Yeah.
We can agree on that, though, right? JOK is the only guy away, in the second round.
He's far and away
the
best guy in the draft. He should have. He was a lock, a first round lock before this draft. I don't know what happened.
I saw him going in the teens.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what happened in the meantime. Range. They just the board fell the way it did. But yeah, JOK. I'll be surprised if I don't see teams trade up for him. If the Eagles do, it should be Ertz in 37 to go up to 33 and pick that guy.
Yeah, Steven and I were like wondering if there was a secret video like a Laramie Tunsil situation.
Yeah,
just
you taking bomb hits or why?
Yeah, we didn't know what was going on.
Did he tear something at the draft? Ligaments? Something happened for him to fall like that. But I know we're probably big Asante Samuel Jr. guys. He's probably the big standout corner. I was really big on Greg Newsom, but his stock really, really increased throughout the process. And obviously he went to the Browns. So him and Denzel Ward are going to be a heck of a tandem for years to come. How do we feel about Asante Samuel Jr.? Another undersized corner, but you know, had a pretty good career. He never allowed a single 100-plus yard game in his college career. Is Asante Samuel Jr. a guy that we can get behind, or are you kind of over the undersized corners? Let's get some big bodies, some big physical guys in here.
He's
5'10", man. 5'10".
Yeah, that's tiny. It scares me because, you know, this team, like those two corners, Horn and Surtain, and even Farley, if he fell, like maybe that would be an option. But
Farley? Yeah, I was not touching.
Farley in
the
second
round, with those back issues, man. Sheesh.
Yeah, that kind of reminded me like a Sidney Jones 2.0. Yeah. I was telling Steven that yesterday. But
yeah.
I don't know. At this
Titans
point,
about
I think,
to have a hell of a time with that. Yeah.
But I just think you have to get a corner. Like we were talking about, like the depth that we have at corners is terrible. And I think Vic has talked about this on previous pods, is that the drop off from corner, like from corner and wide receiver, is way steeper than it was in wide receiver. Like there's still plenty of good wide receivers. Whereas corner was like, that's why me and Vic kind of wanted Horn over, you know, Devontae Smith was
Steven Horn, not against Devontae Smith,
not against
on the record, not against Devontae Smith. I just wanted Horn. If they were both available, say we did trade up to pick 10 and Horn and Smith were available, I would have been very happy if they picked
Jason. Look, I'm just boasting because I got my guy.
Yeah,
he was
one. Steven likes him because he's called the Slim Reaper and KD didn't rep it.
Yeah,
yet,
he loves KD.
He just wants to scream Slim Reaper all day long.
Nah, I just love the idea that everybody keeps hating and doubting this guy, and he just
who's hating on him? Who's hating on him?
No one's hating on him.
I've literally seen no
gold,
hate. I've seen no hate. I've seen no hate for Devontae Smith. Literally, where
have
you seen
hated on this guy once yet?
Go
who's
on
hated
YouTube
on this guy?
And look, just look up his blog.
This man said, "Look in YouTube comments."
Like,
there's hate in every single YouTube comment you find. It's not just go on YouTube. You can go on Jamar Chase's YouTube and probably see negative comments.
Oh, come on.
The fact that he went five, what are the Bengals doing? What's going, like, is Joe Burrow gonna like his other ACL about to be gone? Like, I you have T. Higgins, bro. You have T.
Now
Higgins,
here,
you have
okay,
Tyler Boyd.
So that, I'm glad you bring that up, Vic. So they went they went best player available over need.
Penei Sewell was the best player available.
So this is my point I want to make about the second round and just the rest of this draft. I know we have a ginormous hole at the outside corner spot. We need two of them at least. But you still go. I'm sorry. This team was a 4-win team last year. Bad football team. You still go.
They were a 4-win team before Devontae Smith.
I'm going.
Now they're making
the playoffs. Available.
They're making the playoffs next year.
Who's that?
The Eagles. They were a 4-win team before yesterday.
This is
now
a terrible
division. Now they're making the playoffs. Well,
I think they can.
They got some firepower. The division got a lot better, I think. I think Washington is still the team to beat if I had to bet.
I wouldn't rule out I mean, we mentioned JOK, Asante Samuel Jr. I would love him, but dude, Christian Barmore was a first round talent.
No.
We're loaded at defensive tackle, but look, Fletcher Cox.
This man literally wrote an article saying he would be the most underwhelming pick ever, and now he's capping for Christian Barmore. Watch how the sides get switched.
In the second round.
Watch how the
awesome
sides get
value,
switched.
Dude.
Watch how they switch up the energy.
I don't know, Justin.
Go delete that article you wrote the other day.
Yeah, delete.
Yeah, you need to go take that down.
I just said, okay, Christian Barmore at pick 12 is terrible. Christian Barmore at pick 37, awesome value.
Yo, put him in a rotational role with Ridgeway and Hargrave and Cox. I'm about it.
But here's the thing, though, when you're picking that,
you need
high,
a corner,
you
bro. You're not
you
listen.
Listen,
if you don't get a corner in the second round, you are not looking great.
Yeah, linebacker, dude, JOK.
Yeah,
but he's like a safety linebacker hybrid though. Like, and he can play corner. He did that too. Like, if you can throw him at
Jonathan Gannon's probably licking his chops at the
end. Yeah. I'll tell you who's licking his chops right now: Nick Sirianni. If you thought he was hype before, wait until he watches Devontae fucking Smith. This man's about to be drinking Monster for the rest of his life. Hype as heck for no reason.
Question though: would you rather have Asante Samuel or Trevon Moehrig?
Oh.
If those two options were on the board, who are you taking?
Shoot.
Oh, man.
Because we need corner, but I think...
Morg is good. Morg's a good playmaker. Like, for a team that... The Eagles ranked 23rd in takeaways last year, so for a team... I like his range, and I like his ball. I like how he's around the ball all the time. So I like Morg for the simple fact that he makes plays, but Asante Samuel Jr., like, he has his lockdown potential. Like, if And the thing about Morg, too, is he plays aggressive. Like, he jumps roots prematurely, and he can lose leverage. Like, if he's, like, a risk-taker, which reminds you, obviously, of Asante Samuel.
And here's the thing. I don't know if that guy starts, because you got...
And he went to... And he played Harris. For TCU.
Yeah, you got Anthony Harris.
How's our TCU players working out?
Yeah, I need a starter. Really? You got to grab Samuel Jr.
Yo, I tweeted a video of Smith earlier, and he was outrunning. He was dusting Auburn, and he was like, yo, that's Auburn. That's not no D3 school nobody knows about. I was like, yo. Oh, man, we finally got a player from a school that somebody knows. Thank goodness.
Heck yeah.
Imagine drafting players from TCU.
Okay, are we bashing Rieger now?
No, we're not. Rieger's about to show out next year. I literally tweeted it and said Rieger's going to show out next year. Bro, him, Smith, and Fulgham, and Goddard, and Miles Sanders, and if we draft Javonte Williams, which we're not, but it would be fun. It would be a good time.
Or draft another receiver, get a Terrace Marshall.
Yeah, and then what? And now we'd have to cut like four receivers.
That's fine by me, dude. You got an LSU receiver and Alabama.
Dude, Javonte Williams forced 76 missed tackles last year for North Carolina. That dude is elusive.
Yeah, now, we can get him too. Yeah, I'd rather get him than Christian.
Imagine
Daymore.
Him and Miles Sanders. We could literally run a Ravens type offense, like the way Lamar, Gus Edwards, and J.K. Dobbins last year. You could literally run.
Don't rule out offensive line either. There's some guys.
No, you never do. I like Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins from Oklahoma State. He's good. He's big. He's mean. He's played guard and both tackle positions. And I think he was a part of that offensive line when Chuba Hubbard had that 2,000 yard season a year ago. So yeah, I'm about Tevin Jenkins. Steven's the one that's been looking up. I remember the other day. Wait, who is the guy I asked you about? And I was like, what do you think about? who was it when we were talking? And I
was it offensive line?
I can't remember.
Was it Josh Myers?
Oh yeah, I was like, yo, what are your thoughts on Josh Myers? And you were like, dude, I mean, he's a tackle. I was like, all right.
He's not a tackle, is he? I forget.
I don't know what he is. He went to Ohio State. That's all I know. I don't care. After I write these things, I kind of just tune it all out after that. But I guess
we
need a corner is what we need.
We need interior offensive line.
We need a center before Jason Kelce retires week six. he might wake up one day and just have – this man threatens to retire.
Guards. Yeah, guards for
sure.
Yeah,
because who knows when Brandon Brooks is
– Would you be okay with a trade back? Or do you just want to stay at 37?
See, they need corners so bad. Like Asante Samuel.
So, listen, if Asante Samuel is not the guy, who are you picking up?
It depends how the board's falling.
Well,
who's the next best corner after Asante?
Oh.
I really have no idea.
Yeah, we're in trouble.
Isn't that Kentucky guy around? Is he like a third round guy?
We're in trouble. Joseph? We're in trouble.
Yeah, there's a lot of raw corner. The one, I think he goes raw. To UCF or something. He's like 6'3". He's like a project type of guy, though. I don't know if we should do that.
And then Sean Wade, Ohio State?
Not sounding
he's
confident.
He's small, isn't he?
Not sounding confident. This is not.
See, that's my only concern. Like, I love Asante Samuel Jr. I like the fact that his father played for us and stuff like that. But, like, can he play outside corner or is he going to be, like, a tweener?
Yeah, he's going to be outside. He's not going to be a nickel corner, that's for sure.
Mm.
Avante Maddox is going to play nickel corner next year.
Oh, he has to play slot.
Yeah, if he's even still here, he was not.
That's
his
only role. He was drafted to be that. I don't know why. Like
he should play. He should be playing safety. To be honest.
Shout out to anybody who had the audacity to sit here and defend.
Yeah, Justin, are you a shorts defender too, man? Because this man's always on the opposite spectrum.
No, he never developed anybody.
Jonathan Gannon's about to be in here making raw corners look like.
And you know what? He's lucky that this Eagles defense was loaded at defensive line because that fits his scheme. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's lucky. Yeah. If we didn't have talent on the defensive line.
But they loaded it for a reason. It's not. He's not that he was lucky. They got the players to fit his scheme. The Eagles have always
believed in building from the trenches on both sides of the ball.
Well, yeah, that's why I'm surprised Rashawn Slater wasn't the pick. Can you imagine? That would have been
interesting
to say the least. But at the end of the day, we finally got our Alabama receiver, first player drafted since 2002, 19 years, and we might get Christian Barmore, so make that two players in the first year. So we got the Steven to his glory, we got the Heisman Trophy winner on a team. So now we'll see if it means anything. We'll see if Heisman Trophy winners translate to the NFL because apparently they all work out. So.
Never said that. See, now you're quoting me.
That was your main argument. You're like, dude, he's the Heisman Trophy winner. I'm like, so what does that mean?
I said from the wide receiver position. You know how good you have to be as a wide receiver? Wide receivers never win that award. It's always
quarterback. He beat out Mac Jones. Yeah, great.
You see how that guy was walking?
Yeah, that man's on a mission. He fits the Boston. Yeah, he fits the mold for the Patriots. Cam Newton's over there, like, damn, y'all just sign me. Jared Stidham doesn't care about.
What do we think about Justin Fields going to Chicago? That's a win.
I mean, Andy Dalton's probably like, dude, I thought I was starting.
He literally said that. There's a quote of him.
There's a quote of him saying, like, I signed here because they told me I was starting, and then you draft Justin Fields. Where's A-Rod going? We'll end on this. Where's Aaron Rodgers going?
I really don't know.
San Fran. That's where my money's
at. Yeah, I see him going west.
Just do a little
swap. Wait, San Fran, who they draft? Trey Lance? I bet on.
Oh, yeah, he ain't going there.
I bet on Mac Jones to go third, and I was sick.
Oakland, what if they trade Aaron Rodgers for Russell Wilson? Do like a quick swap.
So you're going to swap two disgruntled quarterbacks to be even more disgruntled in their new destinations. Yeah, that works. The fact that it came out so randomly, like he's so disgusted with the team that he don't even want to come back.
On draft day
that they released it.
Of course they did.
Aaron Rodgers probably like, trade me tonight, please. that's probably the way that went. Oh man. So we'll each pick our one player from the second round. If it was up to me, I'm taking Asante. Justin, who do you want?
JOK.
Steven? Christian Barmore, don't say it.
I'm going JOK because this team, I get the hole at corner.
Be realistic. If they're not trading up, I assume JOK is gone within the first three picks. Like if JOK is gone.
You don't know. I was looking at the player I want.
I mean, Asante Samuel Jr. could go before us.
He could, but it's more realistic that he's there and JOK's not. JOK shouldn't even be in the second round. All right, fine. JOK. I was waiting for you to say Barmore.
He's third. He's probably third or fourth. Man, I was rather Barmore than the safety, actually.
Who, Trayvon Martin?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's very interesting. This man literally wrote an article slandering Barmore. Now he wants him on the team.
I'm not going to explain it.
Oh, man. I mean, at 12, that would have been disappointing. I remember when a report came out about Peyton Turner the Eagles really like, and I was like, dude, the Eagles definitely talked to him like six times. Thank God he drafted him.
I forget who it was. I mean, they didn't even know how to react to it.
You see the Giants fans when they took Tony? They were not happy.
The guy didn't even know who he was.
Now, Peyton Turner, like, I looked into him a little bit. He's not bad. Houston took him, I believe.
Kadarius Toney's awesome, though. Giants, he is good. He's good. Giants fans are weird, dude.
He's somebody awesome. I would have took if the Eagles did get that corner in the first round. He's somebody I would have entertained in the second round.
Kadarius Toney. That'd have been an awesome haul.
Yeah, that would have been great.
What about Elijah Moore, though? I mean,
Elijah Moore is there. Goated low key like that.
I would not be surprised if they go wide receiver.
Yeah, again. Explain this theory you have about us going receiver again, like.
Dude, I don't know. It's just my gut feeling.
Your gut feeling.
I'm not saying that's like
the dude. Elijah most Moore likely. Had a faster 40 time than all of the receivers this year and last year, except Henry Ruggs.
Oh, and he plays like big for his size.
Yeah, he's 5'9", 184. Forced 18 missed tackles last year. Caught 86 catches for 1,200 yards and 8 touchdowns.
Now he's a clear slot guy, right?
Elijah, he had the lowest drop rate among SEC wide receivers. He didn't drop a single pass in the red zone and only dropped two total passes last year.
He beat the Heisman.
He could get that. Why didn't he get the Heisman?
Yeah, he should have the Heisman.
We would have drafted him in the fucking.
So I'm assuming your point, Justin, is you know what Justin's? I mean, this is how it should be when you draft. They're drafting. And this is common sense, but off their big board. So if Elijah Moore is the best player,
what do you think that big board looks like?
Right now, JOK has to be number one on that. Based upon their
that dude is a thumper. That man lays the wood.
My hot take was that he's going to be better than Micah Parsons.
Oh, that is hot. That's
it might honestly. I've heard that around. I don't think it's as hot as
your
think,
sources. Dude. Your sources told you.
No, I just hear it around listening to other like creators,
hearing a lot of chatter,
draft guys and stuff.
Yeah.
Because he's so versatile. Micah Parsons is just, like, the idea of him's better. But, like, JOK is so versatile. He plays, like, three positions.
Right. Before we get out of here, Justin, I'll give you a minute or two to go ahead and shout out Howie since you were the only one of us that stood by him because we didn't. And that's noted. I want everybody to know that I did not stand by this man for this draft. Well, me or Steven didn't. I expected the very worst. I had anxiety the whole day, but Justin never wavered. Like, so I will give him his glory this one time, and we will. I will give you the floor for this one time and shout out this man.
Well, Howie Roseman, thank you.
Write a letter.
I, Yeah, I might have to send him a letter to Novacare. He can sign it for me or something. I don't know.
Wait for the rest of the draft before you start celebrating.
Yeah, we'll wait. Can I wait on this?
Yeah, we'll wait on this. And then you'll write down.
I don't want to jinx anything. I'm a big person about
jinxing. Next thing you know, this man drafts a sixth round offensive tackle.
We draft in the second round. Kyle Trask at 37.
Okay. Yep. On that note, we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. Devontae Smith is now Eagle, the Heisman Trophy winner. Don't forget it. Heisman. That means he's going to be goated in the NFL. Ain't that right?
You're damn right.
Devontae Smith, first Alabama receiver taken in 19 years. He's here, and he's an Eagle. And what number do you think he's wearing?
Six.
He's wearing a six. He said, well, Khalil Tate wears six right now.
You want to know why he's wearing six? Because every time he touches the ball, he's taking that bitch for six.
All right. Okay. Well, Khalil Tate's wearing six, so he might have to wear three. He said he wants to wear six.
Khalil Tate, who is that?
Okay, all right, so you don't
sounds
know about
like the Giants.
Yo, Justin, real quick, you know Steven didn't know who Hugh Douglas was?
Oh no, Steven.
I was like, yo, why did Hugh Douglas say this on Twitter? And he was like, who the hell is Hugh Douglas?
He didn't win the Heisman, that's why.
He didn't win the Heisman, so Steven doesn't know who he is.
Nah, I recognize the whatever. I don't feel like explaining.
That's because y'all Gen Z kids don't know any of the 2000s.
Nah, I recognize the face and everything.
Recognize the face. You didn't know the name. You heard Hugh Douglas and nothing registered. That's disappointing.
I don't know, man.
You're not a true Eagles fan, man.
True Eagles fan.
This man's like this, man, and then to combat it, he was like, "I know Brian Dawkins." I was like, "Well, I sure as hell hope you do know Brian Dawkins."
No, I mentioned a few other guys on the defense.
Okay, all right. We'll let you go study up on Hugh Douglas. Thank guys for listening to this episode. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, iHeartRadio, everywhere else you get your shows. Be sure to go follow myself on Twitter at the Philly Pod. Follow Steven. Tell him who Hugh Douglas is on Twitter at Steven Conrad Jr. Go follow Justin for all his union coverage as well as the Eagles at Justin J. Bradley. Steven, let them know what you got coming up on YouTube because I honestly don't know. So.
Yeah, I don't know either. You never know.
You never know.
The camera and get some content.
Okay. Well, you guys got that reaction from last night up there, right?
Yeah, it did pretty well. You can check out me and Justin's live reaction to the draft pick. We were hanging out, having a little draft party. Some wings.
Some Miller Lights.
Some beer. Peaches, some Trulies for Justin, peaches. Right?
Trulies, yeah, Justin. Yes, yo, sir. Steven, that reminds me. You left these peach Truly things here over the weekend, and those things are disgusting.
Yeah, they suck.
They were terrible. I will never drink that.
The tea ones?
It was like, I don't know what you got, but it was some, it was like 8% alcohol. And yeah. It was disgusting.
It contains a little bit more alcohol. Hey, it set the mood that night. We had some nice talks that night.
What?
Non-football related.
What? Oh my God. Yeah, all right. I'm gone.
Stay tuned on the Daily Drip. We got a Devontae Smith breakdown coming out. I mean, who else would you go to for a Devontae Smith breakdown? Come on now.
And what trophy did he win, Steven? Devontae?
Jamar Chase won the Fred, whatever that award was. Does that make him the best receiver?
Yo, one thing I want to point out, we were all Jamar Chase guys for over a year.
Very much so.
I just want to say,
I still am.
He came out and said he's going to come out and break all these Cincinnati Bengals records.
T. Higgins, what
records are you breaking? The Bengals.
AJ Green. Ocho Cinco. They had some good receivers.
Yeah, it's funny because Ocho Cinco is not even 85.
Yep, not in Spanish. Speaking of Ocho Cinco,
he is a big Devontae Smith guy, a big Heisman supporter of the Heisman winning wide receiver who beat out Jamar Chase for that. Well, Jamar sat out. Whatever.
I can't believe they really didn't take Sewell. Joe Burrow might die next year. He literally might. He might get. He might need an amputation next year.
He's gonna die around his friends throwing.
At least he's gonna die around his friends. Oh my God! All right. And, yo, that's a hell of a way to look at it. On one leg, that's it. We're just repairing the other ACL. Oh man, that's lit though. Joe Burrow gets to play with Chase, and Hurts gets to play with Devontae. That's good. I like this.
Waddle gets to play with
Tua.
What's his name?
Tua. Trash.
That guy's not a franchise.
Who might only be starting for one more year.
Patrick.
Dolphins should have went QB, in my opinion.
Yeah, Dolphins should. What?
No, they'll get Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, they're trying to trade for Deshaun Watson.
He would look good in that uniform. Okay. Pause. No, pause. You know what I'm saying? Pause.
We're getting to those non-football related conversations he was talking about. Be sure to subscribe to the show, guys. Apple, iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube. Follow all of us on Twitter. We'll keep you posted. I lost it there for a second.
Leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, leave a review, man.
I haven't seen one in a minute.
First of all, why do you even check them? That's my job. Why are you checking the review?
What do you mean?
This man said I haven't seen one in a while. Like, he's the one that. Okay, yeah. Leave the reviews. 5 stars. Rate all
that's what we do here. Trying to get better every single day.
Yeah, we want to bring it to more eyes and ears. I get better every day. Steven's.
If you got an issue with what I said,
Steven was literally rushing me earlier. He was literally
review.
Texting me all morning, rushing me, telling me that we're on a time schedule. What?
Going to the Sixers game tonight, baby.
Nah, you got finals. Young kids.
NBA
man.
Finals.
NBA finals. You mean NBA finals?
NBA finals. That's going to be the Nets, huh?
That's going to be the Nets. You're going to see the Nets in the NBA finals.
Good chance we do.
Yo, get out of here.
Dude.
I'm gone.
They rested
I'm gone.
Their
I'm
star
gone.
Players
I'm gone.
All season.
I'm gone. I'm gone.
And they're still
Dude,
first
they played
in
the Big
East.
Three has played seven games together.
All right, well, they're first in the East, and we're not. We got to get back.
That's because
first
we didn't
place.
Have Ben Simmons for six games.
I agree.
Yeah, nah, I don't know.
Yo,
if
Ben,
I don't
please,
know if you're
Ben. Ben, please shoot a three-pointer tonight for me. Every time I go, you've shot in a three. Time I go, he
every
shows
game,
out.
He did not. He did not do one at the Clippers game we were at last year. Did he shoot a three?
No, he didn't. But every time last, I was at every time he shot a three last. It made a three last year, I should say.
Yeah, he went toe to toe with Kawhi Leonard last year. That's what,
that's what I'm saying. He
that
shows
was,
out
that
every
was
time.
That was pre-COVID. That was pre-COVID, Ben Simmons.
And people have the audacity to call me a Ben Simmons hater on the internet and stuff like that.
That's
every time I'm in that
Fargo
Center, he shows out knowing I'm in the stands. Knowing I'm in the stands.
I bet.
I bet. I bet. Guys, thanks for listening. Catch us on the next episode. We'll
call
keep
me
you guys
a Ben Simmons hater.
Oh, my God. We'll keep you guys posted on all the future episodes. We'll be assessing the rest of these draft picks. We'll see how much of a Howie fan Justin still is afterwards because he still has time to mess it up. If Kyle Trask is an Eagles green, I will definitely not be capping for Howie on that episode. So thank you guys for listening. Keep it locked right here. And we'll catch you guys on the next Philly Pod. Peace out.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.